Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, and joining us as always on this fine... It's actually a really nice day here in Melbourne today, isn't it?
It is nice. It's sunny.
Yes.
But it's cold.
Yes.
My name is Adam Knox.
The weatherman.
I'm here at the Lost Dogs home. Pick up a pooch today.
It's always sunny but cold in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Oh, I might talk about that show on our bonus episode. I've started rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia
I went through and watched it all last year during maybe the year before, even before there was a pandemic.
Right. It's just a personal pandemic.
So you can't remember if you were watching it at the expense of social activities or because there was nothing else to do.
Whenever I was watching it, it wasn't at the expense of social activities.
Okay, right.
It doesn't matter whether or not there was a pandemic on, I wasn't cancelling plans.
Yes. Okay. What you weren't doing... was playing video games.
I never do.
What?
That's my secret, Cap.
Yeah, I've never really watched much of that show, but hey, this is a good plug for the bonus episodes that we do on the Patreon.
It's a plug.
It's a plug.
Yeah. No, if you want to hear us talk about a few episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
It is this podcast, but about things that aren't video games.
Yeah.
Basically.
And it's called Nintendo 69.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun little joke between friends.
No one
does that cost you?
No one tell Nintendo.
Not tell Nintendo.
Famously non-litigious Nintendo.
Yes, that would be great if they came after us.
Fuck.
That would actually be sick.
Yeah.
For
that of
no
all
way.
Things, it's like we have it. There's, you know, there's still like modded versions of their games and pirated versions of their games out there that are able to, you know, sneak by them. But them taking on a bonus content of a podcast of which one of the hosts is obsessed with them.
Yes.
You know, really striking down one of their most vocal campaigners.
Yeah.
We should put audio files up that are just like ROMs of Super Mario Brothers, but with the file extension change to MP3.
Right.
And put that up as podcasts.
So people hear just like...
But then they can change it to the Super Mario Brothers ROM, and then that episode of the podcast... Nintendo sues us for.
Right.
And we are in the news.
Yes.
Okay, right. Yeah. Right.
That's the point, right? To get
absolutely.
Exposure at any cost.
Because obviously...
What if we kill 100 people?
We fold immediately. We're like, yeah, we'll change the name.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. I also like that we're putting up a ROM of the original Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
We're illegally distributing one of the most easily accessible games on the planet.
That's the beauty of it.
The highest selling game of all time up until, what, GTA 5 or something?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Most people like have that. Fuck.
Or they never want to play it again.
Yep.
Yep.
But we put it up as a podcast.
Mm.
1 week, we want to take a week off. That's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
We've got Super Mario Brothers 2 ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. So we're doing this at my house, which we've normally been recording at yours, which means, hey, big hands, do you want to have a go of my hoary Switch thing? Yeah, give me one sec.
Run and get it, you little fuckhead.
The play test.
Now that he's gone, he can't respond to me calling him a tiny little fuckhead.
You stupid little fuckwit. Thanks for having us, Tommy. Really appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having us round. Oh, look at the size of that.
Wow.
My pleasure.
You put your dick away.
Yes.
Great. Fuck, it really does look like an Atari Lynx, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's huge.
It makes it gigantic, but yeah, it feels quite good.
I don't think I mentioned this when we were first talking about it. I'm always so skeptical of these third-party peripherals and accessories that I have never got one. I'm like, nah, it'll be bad. All right, here we go. It's my turn.
Okay.
There are a couple little things about it that make it look kind of third-party-ish, which do sort of ruin the overall like yeah, aesthetic of the console, but like it feels fucking, it feels really nice. Those sticks are great.
So I just have my hands that are covered in a sticky goop.
Yep.
I'm your little cousin who's come around and touched all your controllers. I'm your cousin who eats fucking marmalade out of the jar or whatever they do.
But it's for some reason better at every video game.
Yeah.
Really annoying.
But I'm just like breathing through their mouth and all sticky all the time. My cousin was a slug.
We did literally just watch you eat a lot of honey before we came and did this.
Not a lot of honey.
Yeah. Big Bear Noxy.
We're starting this late because you were stuck in the little hole that leads into my house.
Yeah.
You had no pants on. You were just kicking around in there.
But so, okay, I touched the Hori controllers. We talked about them last week. Some people went out and bought them, they said, because of your discussion of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them
at all. Okay.
As a second review, having not actually played a game with them, I will say they feel very hollow and light.
They do feel light, a little light and flimsy. I like the joysticks and I like the D-pad and I like the buttons. I don't like how the small, like the menu, like the plus minus buttons are a little grippy.
Yeah, they're not great.
But personally, better fit for my hands than the Joy-Con, which I hate.
I mean, aesthetically, it does make it all a bit like kind of ugly. And it sort of sticks out a bit from the screen. Yeah, so it's like you do have to sacrifice a fair bit. But those sticks feel great. Like just the experience of playing something where you need a bit more, like as opposed to the actual Joy-Con sticks, they feel a lot better than that.
You got those like extra programmable grip buttons.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. It's a bit like, I don't know. It does make me feel like I'm doing something illegal with the Switch.
They're not terrible. Like if the form factor of the original ones is unbearable for you, which basically sounds like it is for you, these definitely just feel like a pretty normal controller.
Mm.
I think they feel a little flimsy or something to me for some reason. I feel like I'm more likely to damage the Switch when I'm holding these. Does that make sense? Like it feels snappable or something?
The grip, the mold of the plastic, I definitely agree. But the joysticks.
The joysticks are nice.
The joysticks are great. And those back ZL and ZR triggers are fucking great.
Yeah,
and I've been using them a lot in something that I'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever bother with them. But like I'm not in the market for them, so they're never going to. I'm never going to be like, whoa.
I also got one of these, a little Bluetooth headphone thing.
Wow. Look at you. You're really turning this into that original Game Boy thing, jamming every little
accessory. I know, I am. I'm getting the flight tomorrow, and I'm excited to have the Switch on a long flight again. So I think it's like, I'm going to, because I've got, flight to and from Perth, I'm gonna take the original Joy-Con with me. So this thing's on notice for the flight over there. And this is my biggest worry is that by holding this and how much bigger it is now, that my elbows are going to be spilling out into the seat next to me to a degree that is going to make it more uncomfortable to play than just having the regular Joy-Con.
You do have to hold it a little like chicken dance pose. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. It reminds me of, I don't remember.
I don't know why that is. Just chicken?
But you know what I mean, right?
I guess.
But chicken dance is when a human acts like a chicken.
Mm.
So it's correct.
We all know the dance. No, it's just like now I'm thinking of the actual song in my head and that's what made me laugh.
And you know what's you can never get it out too because it's a loop.
Exactly.
It's a round. Do you remember, I think it was like a GameCube controller that had a full-size keyboard in the middle of it. You ever seen that?
Oh, I've seen it. This looks like that.
True. To me. Like it looks bizarre.
I mean, honestly, I think, I can't remember if I said this last week or not, but a little part of getting this as well was with my luck with getting tech and then like the new thing being announced almost immediately.
Yeah.
This getting this sort of slightly more like nicer form factor, almost like a pro Switch setup was to try and goad an announcement into happening. It's like, come on, I've spent the money. Now it's time. You're bringing out new Joy-Con. You're bringing out the new console. Mm-hmm. I've wasted my money on all this shit. So that's sort of the secret hope.
You got it on the indie showcase.
I sure did.
You said, hey, Nintendo, release Fez for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you kind of got the opposite. You got a bunch of games that are fun to play handheld on the Switch. It's like you actually got something that works with what you have.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
So
fucking shut up and like it.
How about you stop being so fucking pessimistic, Tommy?
I reckon he's
always going to be pessimistic.
We've got the Switch sitting in the middle of the table like we're playing spin the bottle with it or something.
Yeah.
So yeah,
whoever the switch lands on has to suck the person who points that dick. All right, a point at me. Here I go.
Yeah, there was a little indie direct. Not heaps of not much interesting stuff in there, but
not much uninteresting stuff though. I feel like there's been a bunch of showcases, whether Nintendo ones or just the other developers, where it's like nothing in that was interesting at all. But this, I think a lot of people loved the game Oxenfree.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big hit. It was, was it an Annapurna distro, maybe?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't remember. It's been around for a long time now.
Yeah, because I feel like it came out around the same time as maybe Firewatch?
Yeah. Or maybe even earlier.
Maybe Inside.
Like, Night in the Woods, I feel like, and Oxenfree are in my head together.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I remember it was a time when I was getting into indie games. I think I played it on the PC. And yeah, liked a bunch of other releases around that time. Didn't get into Oxenfree. I found
January 2016.
2016.
So that was like The Witness came out then.
Yes.
I think that was the year Firewatch came out as well.
Yeah, I think they both.
Witness and Firewatch around the same time.
Yeah, they were both back to back because that was when I bought a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And it was very funny that the kind of the only two things I played on it for the first little while I had it were Firewatch and The Witness.
Yeah, that's games
that did not really take advantage of it being a PlayStation 4.
Because there is a sequel titled Oxenfree 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lost Signals.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's coming out PC and Switch this year. So it makes sense that they put out a Switch version. Okay.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes. But yeah, people did love Oxenfree. It was, for some people's tastes, very written. And some people liked that writing style.
Right.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's an interesting
one. That's happening. There's another one that looks kind of interesting. I'm going to butcher this. Getsu Fumiden Undying Moon, a sequel or possibly a remake to a Japanese-only Konami game that's similar to the early non-linear Castlevania games.
Yeah.
So, this is like, it's kind of sort of samurai-ish, sort of like quite violent looking, and it's gotten a bit of a clean up, and I thought that looked kind of cool. Pretty neat that's happening.
It's like a roguelite, I think I saw in the description.
I think,
this one, yeah.
Yeah. But that looked interesting to me. That was probably really the only thing that really grabbed my attention.
What's it called?
Getsu Fumiden.
Getsu Fumiden.
Yeah.
Okay. I completely missed this whole direct and whatever. Like, I didn't even see it show up anywhere.
Right. I think I must have seen enough people talking about it. I didn't watch it, but I have played some games already that were featured in it.
Yeah.
Fez being one of them, right?
Fez being one of them. Yeah, should we talk about Fez now?
Let's talk about Fez. Yeah, I went and...
favorite character from that 70s show.
Yes.
Fez is fish out of water, American immigrant who he's doing his best.
Yeah, well, funnily enough...
he wants to fuck.
He's horny.
He's horny. Yeah. He's horny. Funnily enough, the core mechanic of the game Fez involves sort of tilting camera at an angle, like you're sitting in the rumpus room.
Yep.
Smoking weed, but come on, smoking weed. All know they're smoking weed.
I mean, they do a good job of making it okay for TV, but it's pretty out there.
It's very cloudy in there for some reason.
It's pretty out there. The 70s. If you remember the 70s, you weren't there,
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I don't remember this, so I was there.
1986.
Right, I guess by the transitive property of that sentence.
Uh-huh.
I was in the 70s.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I was in the 60s. I'm Ringo. Anyway, why'd I pick to be Ringo?
I saw on Spotify in my suggested music, there was a Beatles section, and it was Paul McCartney, one of the great songwriters of the 20th century, blah, 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 blah. John Lennon, a creative mastermind. George Harrison, a thinking man's, pop writer.
Yeah.
And then there was one for the Beatles. And then at the end, there was Ringo Starr, a member of the Beatles.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Ringo.
It's funny as if to have a person who it's like all you did was be in the Beatles is a diss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You were the worst Beatle.
You're the only Beatle that hasn't really done anything since the Beatles. So Fez, this was one of the couple of games announced in this that came out on the Switch eShop immediately. Now, I had never played this, and I remember watching the indie game The Movie when it first came out.
Yeah.
and really enjoying that documentary. It's being developed over the course of the movie, right? It didn't come out until
Because that movie is kind of following them all taking their games on the, like, it's the Super Meat Boy creators,
right? Yep.
Phil Fish, who is the guy who made Fez, couple other people, I think, and they're like showing off their games at expos and stuff, right, during the course of the movie, right?
I think, is it Braid, the other one that's in there?
Maybe it's Braid. Yeah, because Jonathan Blow is that dude. Yeah.
So who's Braid, the witness guy?
Right, right.
He saw me kill a man. And I've been hunting for him ever since.
I think Braid is out when the film...
Yeah, right.
And it has already been a success. And I think Fez is like, from memory, I mean, I haven't seen it since it came out, but he's like sort of deeply... Like, he just can't get it finished. Like, he just spent so long on it. And so, thinking from seeing...
I think Braid is it. Yeah, did you say that?
Braid is Braid it. Is yeah, that makes
sense. But yeah, seeing it in that film and thinking that it looked really cool, and then by the time it came out, never had a PC, and then by the time it came to other things, just sort of having forgotten about it a bit. So, yeah, cool for it to sort of be chucked into the forefront of my mind again and getting it sort of to talk about on this. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. I think it's great. It's pretty easy to see why it's got the sort of reputation that it does. It's yeah, he's kind of one of the earliest indie games, I guess. Like,
it's around that time when, like, there's like a 3-4 year period because it came out in 2012
on the
360. But it was still that early... era of big indie games.
Yeah, because it wasn't... It was... Xbox 360 really supported indie games.
Yeah.
They had, like, the specific marketplace for them, right?
Yeah.
PlayStation had some digital download, like PSN games, but I feel like it took a little bit longer to get around to, like, platforming these kinds of games. I didn't play it at the time. I already owned it on Steam and had put half an hour in,
right,
according to my stats. So I went back in, I played it for like 2-3 hours this week.
Right.
Did you play it at the time,
Max? I played it in the zeitgeist, in the middle of the Fezzomania.
In the eye of the storm. Didn't the Wii kind of try and get a bit of an indie... I remember there being a thing called World of Goo that came out on there.
Yes.
And them making a bit of a big deal of like... I just remember it being so weird that they, looking back on it now, that they kind of had to really... go out of their way to explain what this game was and why it was on there and why you could only get it digitally and why it was this much. And it's like, oh, it's like anyone can make a game now.
Right.
And it's like, cool, that sounds cool in theory. And so the one example that you have of that is a thing called World of Goo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Nintendo around that time had a lot of fucking shithouse ones that were like, came out for the DSi and stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the Wii shop.
DSiWare and WiiWare, is that what it was called?
Yeah, and they
WiiWare,
were like, like My Little Farm and whatever, where it was like, I'm growing parrots or whatever.
I remember buying, I think it's Final Fantasy 5 or 6 or even 4, Crystal Chronicles, and it was a digital-only game.
There was like
was
a cheap sequel to... there was like Final Fantasy 4 The After Years, which is like a bad name for like a reboot of a high school show.
Yes.
But yeah, so there was a bunch of that sort of stuff, and it all seemed a lot weirder then than it would now.
It seemed... I remember being very confused by like, why is this $13?
Yeah.
Why do I just download it here? I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And then it's like 4 hours... Like I was... I remember... It's so dumb to think now. It's like I was bamboozled by the concept of a short form, cheaper...
Yeah.
Totally.
Digital release.
Well, and on the 360... It was, they at first were limited to like 50 megabytes and then like 200 or something. Mm. And then they were like, actually, this is dumb. You can make them whatever.
Mm.
Or, you know, the size kept kind of going up because they understood that the scope of them could get larger. But so, yeah, Braid was the first one I remember being a big deal.
Mm.
And then it was like Super Meat Boy and Fez. Like basically these games that were in that movie, indie movie.
I think the point of the movie is that they've got three of them at different stages. So Braid is out and has been incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Super Meat Boy's just coming out. I think you sort of see him finishing it up and releasing it in the film, and then Fez is like, from memory, he just can't get a handle on it. Like he's just really struggling, and he's already been working on it for fucking ages. And it's sort of, I remember getting the impression from the film like, this will probably never come out.
Right.
Like,
right. So in the game, the movie came out in 2012 as well. So they would have been following those the last few kind of months or the last year of development or whatever of Fez. So yeah, it came out. And it's a two 2D platformer, but you can spin. So all the levels are kind of on a box.
Yeah.
If you imagine like a big sort of tall rectangular box, you know, like a like a box a refrigerator may come in, for example. A fun Christmas jape to play in that box with your siblings, perhaps. I mean, you don't get a refrigerator for Christmas, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
I don't know why I said it.
You get a refrigerator box for Christmas. Yeah. You play in it with your brothers and sisters.
You and your brother just both fucking around in that little rectangle box.
Yeah. You never built a fucking fort? You know?
Not with a box.
Well, I did.
With like catch cushions.
Fort Knox. Box Fort Knox. Box. That's what we bought. Bill.
Wow.
So we...
It's sort of... Yeah, I think the... It is hard to describe. It's a cube. It's... You're playing 2D platformers, but you hit the left trigger or the right trigger, and the cube rotates one
face.
Right.
Yeah, the very beginning of it is you're the character of Gomez. You're walking around this little village that you live in, and everyone that you talk to is kind of labouring the point of like, oh, the world's only in 2D. Like, we all know that. Everything's flat. And then you find this little mysterious thing that grants you the ability to rotate things around. So then you're on the other side of the cube and it's still only 2D, but you can then... So you get things where you can be like kind of... If there's like ledges that are too... The gap is too wide to jump over, you can spin things around and the perspective changes and then they're closer together. So once you're on that different plane, everything works as if it was flat.
Yes, yeah.
So I hope that gives a good enough explanation.
But
once you unlock that ability and you see the way that you can be climbing up a you know, a bit of vine and you know, you've hit a gap where it doesn't continue, but you can like tilt it around and now you're on the side and you can go all the way up. Like once you work that out, it's very natural and it comes very quickly where you go, okay, yeah, I can work out a way across this. I've just got to tilt it around to the right side and then jump up a bit and then tilt it around again so I can...
And you're looking for like bits of these yellow cubes, so they're like often floating in like a little, you know, a little alcove that reveals itself when you flip the screen around and stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that this game is 9 years old. It's like if we were, you know, in high school and someone was describing fucking Frogger or something.
Right.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, but it does still, other than the fact that it is, you know, it's an indie game, so it's in a little kind of, you know, pixel arty sort of style.
Yeah.
But other than that, it does feel very fresh. It doesn't
really
feel dated at all.
Yeah.
The one thing that it doesn't tell you, which I didn't discover until last night, is that it has like a map screen. So like each of these little areas is pretty self-contained and there's like a hidden exit or there's like a very obvious exit, but I got very lost and then, discovered like, oh no, there's a little map screen that shows you how all the little areas link together, how you can get, you know, the little path that you can take to go back, and then it'll also show you whether you found everything in that little area, whether there's a hidden door in that area and all that sort of stuff. So only finding that out last night was like, oh my God, I've just been kind of, fumbling around in the dark, which is still enjoyable because it's fun to move around in and, that great feeling of you kind of break out into a new area and you go, oh, I haven't been here yet, and finding that there's just all this different new stuff to discover. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm sorry for giving out some hot takes on a 12-year-old game, but
nine.
Oh, okay, well that's fine then.
Yeah. It might as well be a Nintendo re-release. So I remember it being a good game at the time. There was a certain point that I hit with it. Oh, also just to I was reading the Wikipedia of it a little bit, and the PS3 had some indie stuff like Echo Chrome and like there were some little other ones as well.
Yeah.
I forget what they were fucking called, but there was like a group of them. Something Pixel Junk, those ones.
Oh,
and those
Pixel Junk.
But yeah, it's got sort of perspective stuff a little bit like Echo Chrome, but we're kind of different. Mm. But yeah. There is like a second mechanic to the game that it doesn't reveal to you. And that at the time when it came out, people sort of pieced together.
Oh.
That I'm interested to see what life that takes on now that there's a fresh batch of people coming to this.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Because you wouldn't necessarily pick up on it. Sort of like with The Witness, where there's like a thing at some point. Like, I don't want to give it away, but like, I know that even kind of saying there's a twist means you were expecting the twist. But there is another layer of stuff.
There are these little totem pole things that are dotted around where you go and You have like a little cube guy that's talking to you.
Yeah.
And you go and stand in front of it and he goes, oh, I don't know what this is. But yeah, there's right. heaps of them. So it's like presumably at a certain point.
So you it, those to like say a small thing about them, it's not like you get a power up at some point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there are a lot of things where I found like a diagram on a wall that is clearly pointing me to something that I haven't quite. And finding the map, honestly, is like such a big help. Like, maybe it did tell me that there
it
is
did.
One there,
it
but
it's
never looked.
Oh,
really?
Because okay. I played through the tutorial this week right. and it definitely told me
I
about it.
I completely missed that.
Maybe these big fucking controllers got in the way.
I just got to a point where I was. Had gone through enough doors, I just couldn't mentally, even with the map, because the map is like, it's kind of weird and all the rooms sort of branch off, you can rotate the map too. I was like, I think I've got enough out of this. You know, like I'm a 2D platformer fan, but there's something about like knowing its zeitgeist was 9 years ago.
Right.
Where I'm like, oh, yeah, this is fun. And I'm sure if Phil Fish makes another game, I'd be keen to see what it's like.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So that's I'm surprised to see Fez showing up again.
I think a lot of people were. People were like, who is still in control of it? The right. licensing, the rights, because it's is it Playtron?
Polytron.
Polytron is Phil Fisher's company, right?
So can I read you just this is why I looked up the Wikipedia thing. Can I read you a segment from Wikipedia? Mm. This is the subheading on the Fez page: cancelled sequel.
Also, if anyone adds like runs this podcast through Turn It In, we're going to be fucked. We're just ripping shit from Wikipedia.
I'll alter it enough to make it seem like it's my words. Okay. So here it says: this is the Fez 2 cancellation post on Polytron's internet site.
Okay.
Wow. It says website on the thing, but yep. I changed it.
Oh, yep. Yeah, cool.
I'm going to do this one because this is a quote. So Polytron, I'll reference this one.
Are there a lot of people in Polytron?
Yes. Oh, Polly?
Yeah.
Aren't they
I was thinking
not?
Like Tron, and I thought you meant like...
yeah, people
huge cast in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fez 2... This is Phil Fish's words. Fez 2 is cancelled. I am done. I take the money and I run. This is as much as I can stomach. This isn't the result of any one thing, but the end of a long, bloody campaign. You win.
Oof.
Very dramatic. Fez 2 was announced as one more thing at the end of the June 23rd.
You read it a little mayo to it.
You read it dramatically.
Yeah, but it is written in that voice. Yeah.
My name is Adam Knox. Well, Knox has been a bit dramatic.
All right, I see today.
So 2013 E3, it was announced, Fez 2. The project was cancelled a month later following a Twitter argument between Fish and video game journalist Marcus Beer. In an episode of Beer's Game Trailers show Invisible Walls, the journalist criticized Fish's response to questions about Microsoft's Xbox One self-publishing policy change. Fish replied on Twitter with condemnation for the industry's negativity and, in a final tweet, announced both Fez 2's cancellation and his exit from the industry. The news came as a surprise to the rest of his company, which has not commented on upcoming projects other than ports since the sequel's cancellation. Polygon listed, blah, blah, blah. But so I remember this because this guy just started being a fuckhead on Twitter and like wrecked a bunch of people's jobs because he was like, everyone's being mean to me. My cube game isn't the best game. Like, fuck off, dude. It makes me so mad, that kind of behavior.
Yeah, my character that makes Kirby look like an interesting design deserves more respect than this.
Yeah, it soured me on that game. I think I was still kind of playing it or something. Like, I don't think I came to it at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe came to around then. I was like, oh, this guy seems like a fucking cunt. Because he was just being a real prick on Twitter. They're all deleted now. I couldn't find him.
Right.
But so, yeah, anyway, that makes it very surprising. This
but
game
it just came out of nowhere. Yeah, I never knew any of that. And you saying, like, cancellation and surprising to see it turn up. I honestly expected, like, oh, no, there's some kind of fucking sexual harassment or whatever. So it's like,
I put the Fez in there to make fun of people from other countries.
What a relief to find out that all he's done is ruin a few other people's jobs. You know what I mean?
Like, and just like be a bit of a fucking jerk on Twitter.
Yeah.
He was an early sufferer of the getting too deep into Twitter disease.
Right.
The 2013 Trump.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you came into this not knowing anything about it other than just seeing it pop up on the eShop and be like, oh, cool, this little character looks good. Yeah, I like this trailer. I don't think you would know that it's 9 years old in any of its presentation or style, and especially now, like, indie games that are pixel art with like a, but they've got like a very weird little kind of modern twist that would only work kind of like today. Mm. That's very, you know, that's very current. That's like, so yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really hooked in on it. The music's great.
Yes.
Spinning the little world around on its axis and finding a new little way through, is really great and really satisfying. And there's one thing in there that this is early on enough, and this may be slight spoiler, so just maybe fast forward like a minute. I'll try and tell this very quickly.
At the start of the game, you press start.
It brings up a map.
Yeah, it brings up a little menu.
You go into a room and there's a QR code on the wall.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, I'll get my phone out and scan the QR code. And it comes up with a... What the QR code brought up was a Google search result for an input code. It was like ZR, ZR, ZL, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I put that input code in and that unlocked a new little cube thing. And I thought that was kind of like a neat thing anyway, but like just such a funny thing to come across in a game that's old, but to discover it in 2021, the year of the QR code, had I played this any other year, I probably wouldn't have, I would have gone, oh, that's a QR code. I wonder what I do with that. Like, I probably would have thought, oh, I guess I could scan that on my phone, but I'd have to download that fucking QR reader
I'd
app
have to
and
print out the screen and put it in the scanner. And
I just thought that was like such a funny, like very like of the moment, weirdly thing to have in a game where my instinct just immediately went, oh, I can just scan this on my phone right now and that'll work.
The puzzle in the game where you have to send away for a Netflix DVD, that's really going to stump you.
But fun game, good game.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's strange that it's just appeared out of nowhere on the Switch eShop, but like I said, I remember always kind of being interested in it from that movie and then just... A, not having the means for a long time, and then B, just sort of forgetting that it existed. Mm. So yeah, I'm glad that it's materialized on there.
Yeah, if you didn't play it, give it a crack.
Yeah,
yeah.
Speaking of old games that have reappeared out of nowhere, this last week a remaster of the game Shadow Man, came out. Shadow Man.
Shadow.
Two separate words.
Shadow Man.
So no, because it'd be Shadow Space Man.
Shadow. Man.
Exactly. That's right? How to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Shadowman.
No, that would imply there's a comma.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's Shadow Man. Anyway, the...
No, you sound ridiculous.
It's from 99, I think. So it's very old.
Wow.
It was like a PC game and it was a big game on the Nintendo 64.
Yes. Now, I have played the first minute of this game.
Well, then let's have a discussion.
What happened? Did you come?
Well, you know what's annoying about
that? Sexy Lois Griffin popped out at me.
Yes.
Not in 99, she wouldn't have. That would have been back in the sexy March days.
Yeah, probably.
99, like, I reckon.
That might have been the first year of Family Guy. It might be. Looking up Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the first things that happens in the game from memory was I think it wanted me to shoot a dog and I... really did not want to do that. And I was like, I don't want to play this. I was like pretty hyped for there to be like a dark adult game on the 64. And then one of the first things I'm having to do is murder an animal. I'm like, oh, I mean, not like this.
Sure.
Like,
too dark.
Yeah.
Good news. Those dogs don't attack you and you don't have to shoot them.
Mm, okay.
Bad news. You are a psychopath.
Turns out you can fight City Hall.
So later on, like the world changes to like the dead side, which is like the shadow world. There's live side and dead side. And then those dogs are demon dogs in that world. So you do shoot dogs later.
Okay.
But those dogs are just little... dogs, they're hanging around. Okay. They're all right in the early bit.
Family Guy, 1999.
Oh, how
there
about
you
that?
Go.
Yeah, I was 12 years old.
Porn of it yet?
Probably. Oh, not. You reckon?
I don't know. How like? What do you reckon the most obscure thing that is like a entertainment property? So it's not just someone's original character.
Yeah.
That someone has drawn porn of is.
I just don't think. Yeah,
I
don't.
No, think, no one would have done porn of us.
No. Too
I obscure. Think the I think yeah. The interesting question is, what's the shortest time elapsed before some sort of so like say now
that fucking tall Resident Evil lady.
Yeah, yes. That was immediate.
Yeah,
literally like, immediate. I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, or like a new cartoon series being on, and it's like 5 minutes into the premiere episode, and whoever's watching it is like, I got to break out the iPad and the Apple Pencil and just get this is really getting the creative juices going. Ep 1's not even finished, but all I already know people are going to want to come to this.
Yeah, get a load of Stimpy. So, yeah, Shadow Man, big 64 title, because like you say, it was like a very, in quotes, adult game.
Anything
at the time.
Slightly dark being on the 64 was
it is so childish. It, right. Like, in like its version of adult is like, man, I gotta kill these fucking demons.
Right.
Oh, we had sex once. Like right. that type, like Duke Nukem adult.
It's right.
Like not that lame, but that sort of, you know, olden days in quotes mature tone. It's like a bit embarrassing or something. Like it's a little lame.
This was pre, I was going to ask about dark games. This is pre Perfect Dark.
Yes.
The year before, which was that to me, that's the adult-oriented 64 game.
Because you had GoldenEye, I guess. That was where people were like, it's not just for kids.
And the Turok games,
four kids,
I guess.
At the same time.
So, but anyway, this was of that type where it was like 12-year-olds who had Nintendo 64 could be like, it isn't actually for babies.
Yeah.
It's that. But so I never played it at the time because I was a baby. But I remember seeing it in all the magazines. It got a good response. But it is now 22 years old, something like that.
Right. And is this just a re-release or a remaster?
It's a remaster. So it is, to point out, I've not been playing the remaster. I've been playing the version on the Nintendo 64 primarily.
Okay, right.
Because I tell you something about playing the Nintendo 64 version. Could use a remaster.
Oh.
Okay.
The Adam Knox method is if a game comes out that's like the sixth in a franchise and he hasn't played any of them, you've got to start from the start.
Mm. Yeah.
Even if five of them are bad.
If I meet someone and they're like, oh, do you know what I did the other day? And I'm like, whoa. What did you do when you were three?
Yeah.
Start there if you're gonna listen, your memories begin.
If you're going to listen to one Wings song, you've got to listen to the entire discography of the Beatles before you go in. Yeah.
You get it. And if you're going to listen to the Beatles, you got to listen to all the music from before that.
Right.
I've only made it up to Greensleeves so far. That's as far as I've gotten in musical history. But so I just had access, perfectly legally, to the Nintendo 64 version.
Right.
Okay. So I was like, I'll just play this.
And you saw the remaster advertised and you thought, this gives me an idea.
Yeah. Right. I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
The remaster, from my understanding, I looked up some stuff about it. It like cleans up the visuals, but it doesn't really change anything fundamental. Because there was a version of this that came out for the Dreamcast as well. Like the PC version as well were like more advanced than the 64 one was. And there was like a shit PlayStation version as well. And they've taken that better version already and sort of jazzed it up, better textures, pretty similar controls and stuff though. No changes to the gameplay other than some additions of cut content from the original that wasn't there.
Right.
So for all, you know, intents and purposes, this is the same exact game as the remaster is now, from what I can tell.
Right.
So I'm going to speak to it very condescendingly as I do to everyone. I like it.
Yeah, what is what's the concept? I was looking at pictures and was like, I can't tell what this is.
Yeah, so it's like an adaptation to some obscure comic book. The Shadow Man
is... This game was really popular in South Africa, right?
That was the thing you said. So there's a documentary I learned after Tommy said that before we recorded called Searching for Sugar Man.
Yeah.
And Sugar Man was very popular in South Africa.
Yes.
That joke must be very popular in South Africa or else you wouldn't keep saying it, right?
Well, I was like, no, these guys don't get it. I'm going to roll it out publicly and let the audience be the judge.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah. The internet audience, famously a kind and forgiving audience.
Hey, ours are though.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. So you're this guy who like, he stops Deadside, which is the version of the world that everyone goes to when they die.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hell kind of.
Sure.
There's an evil there that has recruited five serial killers. And like, there's a lot of like information about these killers' crimes in the book, like a book that you have in the game, which is kind of weird. And those serial killers are like being made super powerful by this evil. You got to go through sort of time and this other world, kill these serial killers, collect a bunch of shit, and stop the big evil.
Right.
So you're like a defender of the light side. You were just some professor, but some like voodoo witch. There's a lot of voodoo stuff.
Right.
She turned you into this shadow man by jamming a fucking mask into your chest. But then it's Tomb Raider. It's Tomb Raider crossed with like a castle. This would be called a Metroidvania now.
Right.
You are exploring these worlds where you can only progress past certain points once you have a new item or once you have a certain number of these. They're called Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah. Well, you get enough of these Bloodborns and you like level up and you can open further gates by using these Sekiros.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly that type of progression that right. we're very familiar with now. That's a very typical type of game, that Metroidvania type thing.
Mm.
Oh, there's a big red block. I can't move that yet. And now I've got this new item that lets me touch fire. I bet that's what that block was right. red because right. of. Now yep. I can push it. Oh, this gate needs 7 of these things. Mm-hmm. I've only got 3. Guess okay. I'll come back later. It'd be great if you could come back later with the assistance of any kind of map.
Oh.
And I'm not just being a Tommy about this.
I was going to say.
Not yeah. a map.
I could definitely relate.
Yeah.
There's a little hand-drawn map that you used to get with the actual cartridge, and I'm sure it comes in like a PDF or something in a remaster. But there's no actual sort of, here's where you've been, here's an item list, blah, blah, blah type right. of map.
You so would like to think that it's built into the remaster.
I don't believe it is. Okay. I looked that Ooh. Up, but it doesn't seem as though that's the case.
Mm,
because it is
okay.
very much a direct... Here's this game again.
Yeah, yeah right. Yeah.
Which it just means you get a bit lost sometimes because Everett kind of looks pretty similar because it's an older game, so a lot of the textures are the same and all that sort of thing. After a while, if you sort of persevere through the initial off-putting point of like, where the fuck am I, you do kind of get your head around where you are.
Right.
And it was quite satisfying to reach that point as well because the actual kind of... exploration is quite fun.
Right.
I'm enjoying it. Like, it's very old and it controls poorly for now. Mm. And, you know, the it's quite stiff and the combat isn't great. But I'm enjoying the little puzzles that you do. I like that sense of progression that it does. Like, it's just a satisfying loop of, like, how do I get to that fucking thing? I guess I'll come back later. And then you remember it later on when you have the thing. You're like, how the fuck did I get there? I wish I had a map. But then you find it again. You're like, damn, I'm a cartographer, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think that's why that that style of game, the Metroidvania style yeah. of game, has become so popular because it's like it really nails down on like the exact kind of like dopamine hit experience right. that we all want from video games, and often is presented in a variety of different ways. But it just really zeroes in on you see a thing, you yeah. can't move past it. You go, you find the thing, and you just know immediately, and it opens up.
We all just want to be a little boy named Shigeru. Looking through a forest when he's a kid.
Yeah. That's uncovering a little, oh, fuck, what is the tanuki?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the only fun thing to a human's brain.
Yes. It's interesting that, like, that era that, you know, there were a lot of those sort of third-person Tomb Raider, obviously, like yeah. you mentioned.
It's that stiff third-person action game from there.
Right, but it's also... there's genuine game design going into the levels. Like, that is yeah. something that... is not present in, say, or is less present in open world games, right?
Right.
Open world games, the dopamine hit is from, like, climbing a tower and revealing more of the map, collecting 99 out of 100.
Getting the thing crossed off the checklist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But even that sort of game design, you do see, and you see it really well in games like Hollow Knight. Like, you guys love Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Mm. I've been continuing to play Oddworld Soulstorm, and I mean, that's itself a remaster or a remake
right, right.
of games that, yeah, just have...
From the same year, I think. Of,
yeah, right. Yeah. Intelligent level design, rewarding yeah. and satisfying level design.
And Fez kind of has it too. It's
right.
like that,
yeah.
like looking at the map for the first time about 8 hours ago, it's just this very... it's you can tell it's like this intricate, like, here's this little... screen and here's how it's going to all look and then here's how it connects right. to the 4 other ones that branch off it, like
right.
yeah, it's very elaborate and intricate and deliberate
mm.
which yeah it's yeah. it's sometimes, even though of course all that stuff goes into an open world game, but it feels less because it's going for a like, oh, this is all accidental. You're
yes.
in this, like, you're in the nature, which yep. just all kind of happened, you know?
And I think that...
It all just kind of happened.
It all just kind of happens,
you know,
brother.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, life's what happens when you make other plans, you know? You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. I'm going to go to clown school, God.
Yeah. A side quest is what happens when you're making other plans.
So, yeah, I think the level design is, like, not amazing, but
right.
the fact that you are just kind of having to properly learn it is actually quite satisfying. And I am, like, the combat is simple enough that having to redo it sort of as you go back through areas and the enemies are back isn't that big of a deal. I enjoy going back to older games and trying to get back into that mindset of, like, what would this have been like at the time? Because especially when there's one that you never played at the time and you have an excuse to go and look at that, it's fun to try and be like, what would I have thought of this in 1999?
Yeah.
And I can see why it was so well received. It's like the exploration is really, really satisfying. And that's the main thrust of the game is that progression and the seeing an area and being like overwhelmed by it at first and getting lost and being like, where the fuck am I? But then piecing it together in your actual mind rather than by going, oh, I'm here on the map, does add something to it.
Yeah.
Just as much as it makes it slightly frustrating at first. So it's kind of, you know, it's a trade-off that won't work for everybody,
right.
I think. But if you can sort of persevere through the initial frustration of, like, this isn't how it's done anymore.
Yeah.
Then it is actually quite enjoyable.
Mm. That does seem a lot more. I mean, yeah, it's like it is frustrating to get lost in a game, but, like, also you can notice sometimes that you're, especially in an open world thing, you're just following the mini-map. You know, you've got this game that looks great, that a lot of care has gone into making it look like a real world, and I'm only looking at the bottom left corner of the screen, just following a little arrow and a little marker and, like, not actually taking in how the game actually looks.
Or in other kinds of games, you hold down detective mode or a hologram sight or fucking Tomb Raider vision and you just see the highlighted items.
Right.
Yeah. Comparing this to the modern Tomb Raiders, this is better level design than those in some ways, because those do reach a point where you're just pressing forward and you know exactly where to go. And so it's just kind of ticking off the boxes that you already know are there. This definitely isn't that. But at the same time, that brings a bit of frustration of having to figure out the boxes for yourself. It does feel a little obtuse sometimes. So if that sounds like the mood that you're in and you've got a bit of time that you want to spend sometimes wandering a little aimlessly because you don't know where the next one of these things you need is or whatever, and it might be in a place that you just miss because, like, there's a button behind a fucking pole that you didn't go around that side of, you know? Like, there's no indication of anything. You really have to find it for yourself. But, you know, obviously there's a satisfaction there. So if you like baking your own bread, play this game.
Right.
That's basically the setup.
It's the sourdough starter of video games.
Totally.
Sourdough man, yeah.
Okay. And it looks a little shitty, like it's old. And even for the time, it's, like, just brown and, like, lame looking. It's just a little dark. And but obviously it's trying to be all gothic or whatever. Not quite gothic. But,
well, it's a good thing that anyone listening to this, even if they do like the sound of it, they're not going to go for the version that you're describing.
No, there's a remaster to play.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, it seems like the remaster has done a good job.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, nice.
So
I would like to play it. It sounds, it sounds cool.
It's all right. I think the remaster is just on PC at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Night Dive, who did those Turok remasters as well.
Okay. Yep.
So they're doing good work with the stuff they're doing.
Yeah, nice. Right. Speaking of...
I assume that means it will come to other consoles and stuff, though, because the Turok ones did.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of walking around aimlessly, I got an email this week, and I had forgotten that I had signed up for this, that I have been granted access to the beta of Niantic's Pikmin app.
Oh.
Which...
That's right.
Yeah,
I didn't realize we were close enough to that coming out to have a beta of it.
Neither did I.
Do you want to show us some Pikmin live on air?
Yeah, so it's very funny. Like, starting it up, it is
I'm more of a Pikmax myself.
It has if you can see, it's got a watermark, like, all over the screen.
Oh,
it's
got
the word confidential written again and again.
Like pinstripes.
Yeah.
Should we not be describing this to people then?
Well, I don't know.
We haven't described... All we've described so far is the confidential watermark.
Oh, there's a me.
Now I've got to make
a little thing of
myself.
Yeah.
I only did the little introductory thing, but it basically seems to be you plant Pikmin in a little seedling thing, and then it tells you how many steps it's going to take for it to hatch.
Oh.
So the first two that I did were 10 steps, and then the one I did just then is 1,000 steps. So I think it seems to be you cultivate, growing these little things, making them grow... I guess it's a bit less... it seems to be more about... Pokemon Go was about going to specific areas, going down to the park to get this thing.
Yeah,
right. I think this is more about just a vague, like, just pure distance. Go outside, go for a walk around the block. Up. Yeah, getting your steps up with a fun little trimming on top of it.
Is there any AR stuff in it? It didn't look like it from... Tommy put his phone down and gave up very, very quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and fucking do a me of myself. Unless
just,
I can...
just do whatever me, who cares?
Oh, yeah, good point. All right.
You can,
there we go.
Yeah. You can probably change it later.
Into your... Easy.
Anyone can.
Okay. Totally.
If you want to look different, man, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're same to me.
This is the home screen.
If Nintendo's going to sue us for anything. It's breaking embargo on the Pikmin app.
Or uploading... that copy of Donkey Kong 64, which is a new... it reminded me of Donkey Kong 64 Shadow Man because you're collecting all this stuff.
Right, right, right.
I think there is AR stuff. It did bring that up when I first was looking at it.
Cool. Well, whatever. That, that's enough for me.
I mean, it was... Yeah, I don't think there's any information about when it's actually out.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But so it's like it's a step counter with a fun little... Like, here you're growing more Pikmin.
In AR mode, you can interact with Pikmin in the real world. Place your camera on a flat surface. Okay. Allow camera. Okay. Here we go. This is happening live on the air.
He's pressed accept to about 50 different little pop-up boxes. Okay. I can see the camera here now. It's pointing at his table.
Search for a surface.
That's a surface. That's a surface. In my opinion. Maybe pull it further back from... Oh, there's a Pikmin on the table.
Whoa. Yeah,
Ben, it's coming at you.
Yeah, it is. It's right in front of Ben.
No, don't hit it.
I'm trying to swipe.
You'll kill
at it.
You're too high up. A Pikmin's small.
Is it on the table?
Yeah. It's like
it's
right
on your
exactly
hand now.
Where your hand is.
Wait, hang on. I'll get a
take
screen
a screenshot.
Ben, put your dick on the table. And then Tommy, turn the camera back on.
Oh, there we go. Got it. Hey, nice. Got it. All now, right. I'll see you in court.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's cool.
Little fun little Pikmin on the table. All right.
There we go. That's it. World exclusive of the Pikmin app.
Yeah.
The Pikmin app. Exactly what you expected. exclusive.
None of us played the Resident Evil 8 demo that came out 2 days ago.
I didn't know about the fucking thing.
It was time fucking sensitive.
I couldn't even work out how to open the map on Fez. Do you think I was savvy enough to work out that there was a timed Resident Evil demo?
Yeah.
Did it come out? Is the time like 2012 or whenever fucking Fez came out?
And dumb, crazy times in this country at least, because they were all, it was a global time.
Yes.
So by the time I even knew it was going on, it was.
We were all in bed
gone.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a Resident Evil kind of showcase thing.
Yeah.
Last week, which, they said a bit of stuff about Village. They showed off a bit more of that, right? And, they did that demo very, very briefly.
So it was like my understanding of it is that the gameplay demo was available for 8 hours.
Yep.
And it will be on separate 8-hour blocks for different consoles, I think. So there'll be another opportunity on PC or whatever again.
Right.
I think the PS4 one and the PS5 ones have already happened.
That sounds right, because what I read was a big PlayStation blog post.
Right. So I think there are Xbox ones and a PC one coming later.
Right.
I'm not sure by the time this goes up.
Okay, hang on. Each demo will be available over an 8-hour window, although the game is timed for 30 minutes.
So that's the other thing, is you play it for half an hour.
Yeah.
North America, May 1, Europe, May 2, Asia, May 2. Yeah. So, the Village demo has been and gone.
Yes. Yeah.
April 17th. And then the Castle demo is coming up this weekend.
But these demos must just be slices of the actual game, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not even interested, I guess, because we'll be playing the actual game in less than a month.
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, cool.
Resident Evil Mercenaries is going to return in Resident Evil Village. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, a new animated movie coming to Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
About a zombie outbreak in the White House. A Dead by Daylight collaboration with Resident Evil. And the most surprising thing, I think, was that a port of Resident Evil 4 is coming to the Oculus Quest 2.
Yeah.
And is another one of those ones that's exclusive to just that headset.
Yes.
Not even Oculus as a platform. There was like a Jurassic Park one, a Star Wars one, and this one now.
Yep.
Infuriating as someone who bought a fucking Rift S.
Yeah. But what I did see, like, just before, a couple hours ago, Oculus were like, the Quest 2 is our headset for now. There's no Quest Pro. This is... for the foreseeable future, the VR platform that we are
Yeah.
working, releasing, supporting, This is it.
They ended production of the Rift S as well. So all of everything except for the Quest 2, that is their only one now. Yeah, like you say. Yeah.
And there's also, I can't remember if this is happening tomorrow morning or Friday morning after we're recording this, but there's like there's an Oculus Quest like direct showcase thing.
Yes, that's
which,
right.
Which is pretty exciting, I think, hopefully.
I mean, not for me. It's infuriating for me because
if they release
like
the sale price for the Quest 2.
I know. I bought one at exactly the wrong time.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So
well,
maybe
I got on the. I kind of was looking through the store the other day, and there's like a couple of new little things that have come out. But again, as we said when we talked about it, like what's on there is great. It just really needs more. So, yeah, I'm kind of really. I've got as I always do for the platforms that I have that have not many games coming out on them, I have very high hopes for this direct presentation.
Yeah. Yes.
That they show off some interesting new stuff. But yeah.
I would like a port of Resident Evil 4 in VR sounds fucking awesome to me.
So, yeah, this is big because, it's very heavily rumored that there's a port of, a remake of 4 coming after the success of the second and the third one. Is this... Is this what people, because I think people, there was like not a leak, but like people were convinced that they were working on it. Like, is it just this?
Right.
Or is there an actual
I'd assume it's two different things.
Yeah.
Because like this is so separate to a remake. And is it the
but
full game?
It's odd for them to not have announced them sort of at the same time.
Right.
It's kind of strange.
I guess if you're having a showcase of Resident Evil.
I think it is the full it's the full game, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. I get that impression.
Resident Evil 4 is getting a full VR port for the Oculus Quest 2.
That sounds fucking great.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, this version of RE4 will be in first person and more details will be revealed on April 24 during the Oculus Game Showcase.
Right.
Short gameplay teaser showed things like Leon holding weapons interacting with a virtual attaché case.
To me, this feels like this is... this is from the perspective of the Quest 2 being its own console.
You know,
like that, this is not a Resident Evil afterthought VR thing. This is Quest 2 has another sick full game to play.
Mm.
That's the feeling I'm getting from it.
Could this be
cool?
That they've announced this first, but then the actual remake of 4 that is outside of VR, does this mean that it's in first person and it's using the 7 and 8 engine?
Oh, interesting.
Maybe.
it is a weirdly splintered, like super, super splintered franchise at this point, right?
I would assume it's two completely different teams working on two completely different projects that are just both Resident Evil 4.
Which is...
Because there's a million versions of that already. Like, they love remaking that game.
But that's what I mean. The fact that the original is already, like, so readily available and was already in third person and had that changed perspective that 2 and 3 were using anyway... I could see the thinking being like, if we just bring it over in this engine and then they're working on... Like sort of what they did with 7. It's like, well, it's already in first person. It's pretty easy to chuck it into VR.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It is strange to just announce the... You would think that, announce the remake of 4 and then go, oh, by the way, there's also this VR port. It's kind of strange to do it in that way around when everyone assumes that a remake is coming anyway. Excited to see what else comes out of that that Oculus showcase.
Yeah,
we'd love to see some more stuff on there.
Mm.
Yeah, if anyone wants to buy a Rift S, I'll probably be looking to...
I'm sure there are people who are like, I don't want to have to log into Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't want to... That's the criticism of the Quest 2, right?
It is a big difference between the two. Yeah. And the Rift S is still good.
Isn't it very close technologically to the Quest 2 or the screen?
They're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Just the Rift S is wired is one thing.
And
you
Quest
don't need the Facebook
tied.
Login.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it all the more frustrating that you can't just... do the same stuff on it. It's all the same tech and everything.
Yeah, it feels like a very... Well, it doesn't feel like it is quite an arbitrary... And I people aren't quite sure how to port them over or whatever. Like, I looked into it and people are like, it's... I don't know, it's all locked behind, whatever, so...
Right.
It's the nature of shit. It's the same as how, games stop coming out for the Wii U. Like, they've got a new platform they want you to buy. So.
Yeah, they're pushing people towards it. They want to make more money and have more Facebook users because, Facebook seems like it is tanking as a social media platform.
Yeah, so time for me to invest in their hardware.
Yeah.
The idea of a first-person survival horror game But chucking it on and being like, now log into your Facebook account.
Aunt Julie has some things to say about the local craft fair
We've
that rejected
stolen
her.
Your data.
I mean, that's what it should be. If it's gonna be if it's gonna make you log in, at least you know that. Like, I don't think any of us are interested in this, but that Metopia game that I think is out this week, where you can put your boss in as a dragon.
Yeah.
It's like, let us do that. It's like, if you've got access to my Facebook anyway, let me pick some people to have as zombies in Resident Evil 4 that I can take out.
Yes.
Just find the most racist people on my feed, chuck them in the village, and let me fucking let rip on them with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Who loses?
That's a victimless crime.
It's a victimless crime.
You both have the 64 gigabyte Quest 2s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You've never found that a problem?
No, not at all.
Cool.
No.
Fuck.
I mean, largely because there's not that many games.
There's not tons on there. And also what you do have on there is like pretty short little, you know, you get a one player thing and it's a few hours long, so it's pretty easy to delete. There's not too many things that you're going to have. I mean, other than something
like a
Beat Saber that's just always going to be on there.
Yeah.
So a second question.
Yes.
Which you'd have figured out after I asked a question that it was a second
question.
Question
two.
Oh, shit. Mm. This is my only platform for questions now.
Going to need you to log into your Facebook before I'm allowing you to ask this question.
What is your mother's maiden name? It's a question for you.
You just got a long generic USB-C cord, correct?
Yes.
And then you plug that into your computer and that makes this the same as a Rift S. You can play whatever VR game on there through Steam or any platform.
Any platform, yeah.
And this thing just acts as a hardware headset. It doesn't. It's not a cunt about it.
No, it's absolutely seamless. And you spend $30 on something called Virtual Desktop.
Yeah.
And you can go wireless.
Yeah.
With
okay.
Steam VR.
And that is lag-free.
Lag-free. It is completely supported by Oculus. It's not like a side quest, side-loaded thing. It's like a legitimate app. It has its own like cool interface where like you pop up a menu in that in Virtual Desktop and it's like Steam VR and you can launch games. Like, it's very well done.
You played through Half-Life Alyx wirelessly.
Yes.
That's fuck. All right.
I love it. Just thinking now about like getting mine after hearing you talk about it, Ben, and having the experience of getting it out of the box and just how seamless it was. The screen looks great and like playing the little, I forget what it's called. I think it's called First Steps or something, the little demo thing.
Yeah.
Playing through that with my girlfriend and like her putting it on. It's like there's a little robot that you kind of like dance with and her going like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever played. It's like, it's just kind of been I kind of dip in here and there, but I kind of want more of those little fun experiences on it. Because I went recently to a place called Be Lucky and Sons, which is I think they're around Australia, but they're like a video game arcade. It's the same company that runs like Holy Moly and
Strike Bowling,
places like that. Yeah.
If you heard a sound, it was me accidentally pressing play on the trailer on the store page for an Oculus Quest
2. I went down there recently. A lot of fun. Played the Mario Kart arcade game. Played a bit of Dance Dance Resolution. But they have a Beat Saber machine with like a headset and everything. And my friend who works for the company was asking me for feedback afterwards and I was like, look, everything's great. It's cool that you have the Beat Saber machine, but I don't know if you need to put it in a private room or what, because it was like, it made me so thank, because also like I was there with some friends and I was like, oh, this is the game I've been telling you guys about.
Yep.
And it's like, because it's in a public spot, it's this big headset that is like, has got like a big cable coming out of it, but with like a big metal thing around the cat, because it's all got to be so secured.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get it to fit your head properly. And then it's like, there's so much weighing it down. And then because you don't have headphones on, you can like barely hear the song.
Oh.
The little controllers are like, you know, huge, like they're bolted in as well. Oof. And I was like, oh man, it just made me like want to go home and chuck the Oculus. It's cool that they have it there, but it was like, this needs to be in its own room so you can hear the machine or have someone just set you up with it and have it be a little more like, not a thing that lends itself to, especially post-COVID, it's like putting this fucking screen over your head and everything. Yeah. It was like, oh, this is a bit yucky. He's doing it.
Whoa,
is he doing it? Oh, my Lord.
Madman.
Oh, my Lord.
Delivers tomorrow.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
He bought a Swedish-made penis enlargement while I was telling that long, boring story about
the Swedish have
in
the longest
arcade.
Penises. You crank an Allen key on your dick and it boink.
Yes.
I fuck a guy named Alan Key and it makes my dick bigger.
There we go.
Tim Key's brother.
Yeah.
Well, that's as good a point as any to wrap it up this week. Filthycasuals.com.au.
It's a legitimate, you know, I host this podcast. It's fine. I'm going to sell the other one. Yeah, baby.
If you want a, if you want a rift.
Yeah. Yeah. Jump on the Discord, jump on the Facebook. Yeah. Make an offer.
Yeah.
What do you want for it?
Probably about $479. Just off the top of my head. I've been talking to my brother. I might end up giving it to my brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
I've been talking to him.
Oh, you've been talking to your brother? Yeah. Wow.
Big finally healed the rift.
All right,
well,
guys.
Here's hoping. Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au, the links to the Patreon, other socials, the Let's Plays we've been doing of It Takes Two, having a lot of fun playing that game. You can watch all our existing ones on there. You can get the Bandcamp premium episodes, including our live show from a couple of weeks ago if you haven't gotten that yet.
Another one coming out soon as well.
Yep.
Yeah, yes.
Yep.
Yep. Exciting.
Yep. Yeah, get on all that stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
time to Google refund policies.
The Oculus has a great one.
Great.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.